could happen that someone came from out of town for a couple of days. They wanted to buy a house, and they look around and they see a house, a nice house they want to buy, and based on what real estate is and where they come from, they ask the person what they want, and they say $200,000, and they say, "Oh, that's a good price, because where we live, such a house will be worth even more than that." And they put it down for $200,000, a buyer, so they didn't have an agent, we'll just make it easy. And when they move in, they find out that all the houses that sell in the neighborhood sell for $100,000, $120,000. Is there a ground for the buyer to nullify the sale? What?
We talked about uniqueness.
Right, so I think that's not an issue here, because let's talk about like a neighborhood like here, where all the houses are built by the same builder, and they're all the same, except their variations. So you know that the houses are going to range between, in a certain neighborhood, the houses can range between 120 and 140, plus or minus whatever, yeah, right? And then they charge 200. You know it's out of line. You know, it's a price that people could say, that's out of line. Like, if it's a special house, and everyone knows that this house will sell for more, so then they have the right to sell it, because it's...
A local person never would have made it.
Right, right. You know, the person got tricked because they were coming, they were unaware. That's the question. And once again, we're not talking about anything wrong with the house. It's not that they went into the house and they saw that everything was broken. We're not talking about kaktos. The house was exactly as they expected it. Everything worked. Everything was fine. The issue is that they overpaid.
Mekaktos is not part of
Ramah. Well, if it's by regular cases, if it's more than a shtus, so we say it's a mekaktos. But the normal din of mekaktos is, if you find something wrong with your product, then you can say, I did not buy it under, you know, I didn't buy a car that stalls every time I go at 40 miles an hour. Right? We're not talking about that there was a problem with the house. There wasn't any structural problem with the house. There wasn't any issue with the house. The house was exactly as advertised. The problem was the price. So it seems to be, no one has said any reason why there should be any way out for the seller over here. Okay, but there's a halacha. Right, the pasuk says, the pasuk went on Bahar, or you sell something to your friend, or you buy something from your friend, al tonu ish es achiv. The person shouldn't cheat his fellow, his brother. Right? That's the pasuk, the Isra of Anah. Al tonu, don't cheat him. So the Mishnah Bava Metzia says there's certain things that the laws of Anah don't apply to. And those are shtaros, notes, documents, avodim, slaves, karkos, land, behagdeshes, and hektish, things that belong to the Beis HaMikdash. The Gemara bases that on the pasuk. The pasuk says, Okano miyada misacha. If you're buying something from your friend's hand, what do you buy from his hand? It's something that you have he has an apple in his hand, a computer in his hand, a car in his hand, and he gives it over to you. That's the way the mitzvah of Anah is. The halacha of Anah applies to something that goes from hand to hand, something that you can transfer from one hand to the next. That's where the Isser Onah. So the Gemara says, Yatzah Karkos, that excludes land, Sheinah Metatel, they're not movable. And then Yatzah Avadim, and slaves are excluded also, because slaves are Fukash, the Karkos. Based on this, it would seem to be a blank check. When, if you're selling your house, Ain't Onah the Karkos. So this guy comes from New York, and charge him whatever you can get from him, because there's no one offer cut costs. And it works the other way also. Suppose there's a neighborhood where the real estate's really going crazy, and there's some old lady living there and she doesn't know, and you decide to tell her, I'll give you this much for your house. I know you paid this much for it 50 years ago, I'm giving you a big profit. But you really offer her much less than the market value. So even though normally you would say that would be Onah, which would cancel the sale, but there's halacha, ain't Onah l'karkos, so you have a blank check to try to get whatever you can. If you're buying, get the cheapest bargain, the biggest bargain you can get, the lowest you can make it. And if you're selling, try to squeeze the most you can out of it, because ain't Onah l'karkos.
Why?
Why is it the question? one reason you could say it's a gzeiras hakasuv. The pasuk says miyad amisacha, right? That's one reason. The other reason will come up. We'll say later. The Rashbam, others say the reason is when it comes to real estate. Maybe it's like some of you were saying before. When it comes to real estate, it's unique. There's no real value. I'm willing to pay as much as I want, as much as necessary to get that property. So it could be that I'm willing to be mochel, willingly mochel. Just like by metatl, we say if it's less than a sixth, you're mochel. It's a by karka, you're mochel any amount. Those are the two reasons. So is a house called karka? That's the first thing we have to talk about. Is a house called karka? So if you notice on the last thing on the first page of the handout, Choshen Mishpat Simen Sarihei. Eile Devarim She'en Yishboim Aleim in HaTorah. Right, there's halachas where you have to make a shvua mid a raisa by motive of mikzas, eid achad. There are times when you have to make a shvua min haTorah. But there's certain things where you don't make a shvua min haTorah. And these are they. Karkals, you don't make a shvua on karka, on land. And the Shulchan Aruch says, afil shel chutzlars, even if it's in chutzlars, because there's one shita that holds, it's an interesting shita, the Gaonim held that karka in chutzlars is like metalful, because you're not going to be there that long. It's sold right away. But the Shulchan Aruch says, and some of the posts say, now that Mashiach hasn't come, and we've been in Gola so long, karka in chutzlars is just like in Eretz Yisrael. And avarim shtaris and nekdeshes, the same things that onah doesn't apply to, you don't make a shvua on either min haTorah, mid haRabbanan. There's a shvua mid haRabbanan in those cases also. Now the Ramah says yesh amrim the talus of a self chibru. If something was detached and then you attached it to the ground, chibru bekarka la kekarka dami, that is not considered land. The yesh chokim, some disagree. Now the cases that in the Torah that they're talking about, the Baal HaItter is the source of the Shita, who says that if you have a drain pipe that you attach to a house, or you have a wall attached to the ground, or some type of a hive attached to a tree, those things, he says, are not called karka, because they were once movable, they were once talus, they were once detached, and later you attached it. So that's called talus. And others disagree. So the Ramah gives an example. L'chein, therefore, imshal ba'is v'nisraf, if you borrowed a house and it burnt down, patim l'shalom, you're patim from paying. Because halacha is, if you borrow anything, a shoel is chayev for everything, right? A shoel is chayev for even onsim, except for meis amachas melacha. So if you borrow someone borrowed a car and the car burnt down, he has to pay for it because he's chayev for onsim. But a house, if a house is considered karka, so then the dinim of the shomim only apply to metathlin, not to karka. So someone borrowed a house and the house burnt down, is patim milashalim. Right, that's what the Ramah says. Now, so based on this, the person who sold his house, the person that bought the house, could have a case to say against the seller, you're saying in and of the karkos that there's no one not for karka, but the house was once talus. It was once separate. It was bricks and windows, and they were all detached things that later you attached. So therefore, I don't want to take it. This is metatl. It's not karka. But that's something that one could say. It's a safek. It's a safek, and he'll say, I don't want it. Me safek. Right. That was. Right, this question of who's the muhsuk, so then you'd say, well, he'll say, Kimli, that I hold that it's karka. Right, that, but maybe that's one way to say that there might be metazalin. Now there's a tshuva I saw, it's called Hara Carmel. The Marsham brings it down. He has an interesting kind of, he says, well, let the cheater tell the one who was cheated, you know, like Shemitah is this year, so when they're going to buy the Dalet Minim Sukkot time, we're going to say you're spending $50 on the lulav and the Esther comes free. Right, so let him say you spent $200,000 on the house, but you know what, I really was selling you the land, the real estate, for $180,000, and the house I was giving you as a bargain for $20,000. So we should go back to the halacha that there's no anah by karka. Right? Prove to me that I'm wrong. Right? It was the land I was selling you overpriced. The house I gave you a bargain. So that's as far as he says, but he says that's obviously you can't say that. If you sell something, especially nowadays, you have assessed values of the land and of the house. And the post can talk about different ways to assess how much of the price was the land and how much was the house. He asked me how much it would be worth without a house, how much is it worth with the house, how much is the house worth alone. Right, so there are different ways of estimating it. So we look at that $200,000 sale, we make it prorated, how much is the house and how much is the karka.
Yes, what I understand here is if the post can permit us to fool God with the Shemitah here in the Esrog, why can't we fool God with the land and the house?
No, because we're not fooling God. We're the buyer and the seller are agreeing to say, right, if everyone agrees, it's fine. So the buyer and seller both agree, I'm going to sell you the lulav and I'm willing to pay that much for the lulav, $50, and then give you the Esrog for free. But over here where, you know, I'm not willing to say that I spent $200,000 on the land and you gave me the house for free because I don't want to be cheated. So then we prorate it.
Second case.
But the house, that's not really
has value.
But it's sitting on land.
Yeah, okay. So, yeah, there are different ways of measuring that.
Yeah.
Okay, but we're not going to stand by this anyway because what's the reason why those people, those poskim hold that a house is not considered karka? They bring a raya from a din in the Hilchos Avodah Zarah. The halacha is that if someone bows down to something as an Avodah Zarah, it becomes asir b'hanah. It's asir. If someone bows down to something and makes it into an idol, it's asir. Now, there's a drasha that says that there'll be mishtachal al haharim. The mountains, mechubal karka, does not become usher as avodah zara. That's what the Gemara says. And the Gemara says, therefore, if someone bows down to a house, the house becomes usher. The Perush Gemara in avodah zara in Chulin, that if someone bows down to a house, the house becomes usher. So the Baal HaItter apparently is bringing his proof from there, that you see from this that a house is considered movable. Because if it was considered karka, it should be like the mountain, that if you bow down to a mountain, if someone bows down to the mountain, he doesn't make it asur. So if he bows down to the house, he also shouldn't make it asur. And what's the difference? It must be because the house is once detached and then it got attached. It's not completely attached. So that's why they want to say, the Baal HaItter wants to say, that a house is not consider karka. The Shach asks on the Ramah that he says simply. He says, how can you learn Mammon from Isser? Here we're talking about a drasha gzerasa kasa. The mountains don't become Asir. So the Gemara says trees, that things you plant, as long as it has trees beside them, they become Asir because a man, it's not a mountain. It's not a thing Hashem made. I mean, like Tali is saying, that Gemara even talks about the things that Hashem makes don't become us because he said, I'm not going to destroy the world because of the Shultim that bow down to them. But when we're talking about Mammon, when we're talking about did I get cheated or is this called karka, it could very well be, and it should be, that a house is considered karka. And the Shach means a lot of proofs. One of the proofs he says is that the Gemara talks about different places. When you're calling a house, the Gemara Hamachas Abayis talks, how do you acquire a house? You fix this thing in the house, you do that in the house, you make a kinyan chazaka in the house, because the house is considered karka. And then he brings a raya from Hilchos Hanah, that the Shulchan Aruch Paskins later on, he brings from the Rambam, that if you sell a palace, even if you sell a palace for a dollar, there's no Hanah on it, because a house is karka, there's no enough for karka. So even though the Ramah seems to be saying a house is an example of something that was detached and then was attached, the Shach disagrees with him, with a long arichas, and he says the Baal HaItter himself only said a wall standing in the ground, that's different than a house. A house is like, it's going to stay there forever. That's something that's going to really, that has permanence. A wall, he doesn't say the Svara, and in fact they ask, what's the difference? But I think that a wall is just standing in the middle of the ground there, unless you use it for a handball thing, like it doesn't have any kiyum. So that's where the Baal HaHeter was saying, and could be if it was a handball court, it would have, maybe that would be considered karka. But he's talking about a wall in the middle of somewhere. He's saying that's not karka. And he even says the example, if you put a drain pipe to a house, that's not called karka. And what are you worried about the drain pipe? The house itself isn't called karka. Right, so the Shach has a longer rikus, and he disagrees with the Ramah's implication and says a house is considered karka in all halachas other than Avodah Zarah, which is where the Gemara says that a house becomes asur. Based on this, so that's what the Magen Avraham in Hilchos Sukkah, talking about a stolen sukkah, he disagrees with the Shach. He says, what do you mean? He answers, you said that if you can buy a house with chazaka, he said that's not because you made a kinyan in the house, that's because you made a kinyan on the ground, and through kinyan agav, by making a kinyan in the ground, that's how you acquire the house, through kinyan agav. It's a big chiddush, because the Gemara taught, and it talks about painting it or fixing something in the wall, so they say it means, and you did something with the ground also. But the Magen Avraham is a big chiddush. But either Ramah does say it. But it seems the Shulchan Aruch paskins by Yona clearly that the Rambam said a traklin, a house. There's no one. And the svara is something that you can't give from hand to hand, right? A house you can't give, even though it might have once been movable, but right now you can't move it anymore. So the svara of Yona, the Gzeres HaKasev, should apply to a house as well as to the karka, because right now you can move it. In fact, the Erech Shai says that there might be a difference in halacha between houses. Right? If you have a house, a portable house, a house that you put on a truck and you just plop down on the ground and you don't attach it, you're just sitting there. So he said that might be called metatlon. That there might be anah if you overcharge or undercharge a house like that. But once it's attached to the ground, so the Erech Shai, most of the poskim seem to be saying that it does have a din of onoah on it. So, back to our issue, that would not be a way for the seller, for the buyer, whoever got cheated, to get out of the sale, because ein onoah v'karkos seems, according to most poskim, to apply to a house also. That diversion that we took was because there are some poskim that say not like that, and there are places where a house is not considered mechubal karka, but in Hilchos Onoah, it seems like the consensus is that it would be Onoah. I have from the Nachlasiyah, Pizchei Choshen brings down another tshuva that is marich to say that a house is considered karka in Hilchos Onoah. Okay, but there's a second issue. The second issue is, if you look back to the front page, where we quoted the Shulchan Aruch said, the Shulchan Aruch in Reish Chav Zayin, Afilu Mocha Shava Elef B'dinar, even if you sell something worth $1,000 for one dinner, Shava Dinar B'Elef, or something worth one dinner for $1,000, ain't B'Elef, no, there's no Onoah at all for Karka. Right? That's what we're saying until now. There's no Onoah by Karka. The Ramah says, Yesh Amrim, some say, the Dafka Ad Palga, that only is up to half the value. Ava Yosemi Palga, but if it's more than half the value, he sells something with one for two, more than two, harei ana, then there is ana. There's a few shitas. Whether, even though we say ain ana le karkos, there's no ana for karkos, some hold that if it's half, if it's twice the amount, there is ana. Some say if it has to be more than half, there is ana. And the Shulchan Aruch says even if it is more than half, there's never any ana for karka, based on the Rambam. So that's the machlokas Rishonim, how to answer some stiras in different gemaras. There's a Tosfos there. There's the Riv. It's a Yerushalmi that says that someone sold something worth Masayim, mana for Masayim, and he said it was batal mecha. So they ask, how about Ein Onoah Karkos? So some say because we don't hold like him. Others say that even though we say Ein Onoah Karkos, this is the machlokas Rishonim, but if it's twice as much, or more than twice as much, then there is onah. So it's a machlokas, mechaber, and ramah. The Shach says that we should paskin like the Rif, that there is no onah at all. The Kiyeger on the spot there says it's a safek. You put it in the Cheskes Marakama. It's a machlokus. It's a machlokus aposkim. The Choshen Aaron we spoke about before. He's the Beis Aaron on Shas or Aaron Valkin. He says a svara. He says when we said Eino no the karkos, it's not a gzeres akasif. That's what he brings from the Rashbam. He says it's not a gzeres akasif. It's because someone could say that's what it's worth to me. So that's the whole reason why there's no enough for karkos. So once you can say this is what it's worth for me, it's not. It's worth whether it's a sixth or more than a sixth. It's the same thing. It's worth as me if it's more than twice the value. Also, l'idishavili this amount. So that's something that that's a svara that he wants to say there is. No, no, even if it's more than twice. But Tosfos, he brings from the Rashbam, Tosfos says there is a gzeres akasif, and if there's a gzeres akasif, so that might be saying that there's no no at all, or maybe it's only half, it's a machlok saposkim, so it would not be an easy way to get out of the sale if right now the other person has the money and you're kind of stuck. If you're muchzik, so then that might be a way out. Okay, so at this point, it seems like it's a good business to get into. Right, you can get into real estate, sell it, buy it from the unsuspecting person the cheapest you can, and maybe even more than twice the value. You have okay. So if you want to avoid that machlokas rishonim, so stay within, with the twice the value. Still make a good profit. It's worth $100,000. So buy it for $51,000, and then sell it for $199,000 to the person coming from out of town, and you're eino nala karkos. Everything's fine. Right, houses maybe it's not but houses probably are mechubal lekarka when it comes to ona. But it seems like a good deal. However, just like last week when we spoke about less than a sixth, we assume there's mechila, and we spoke about that there's a machlokus rishonim whether it's permitted to do. Right, we said many rishonim held that even though if you sell something less than a sixth off the right price, no one can have a taina, but we said it's still prohibited. It's out isher. It's prohibited to do. So the Ramban says, not only is it also usher to sell karka at a wrong price. He says that's what the pasuk's talking about, because following the pasuk of Noah, the Torah says, "V'mispar shanim achar ha-yovel tikne meis amisecha." When you sell something after the yovel, you have to prorate it based on how many years there are to Yovel. If there's a lot of years left, you spend more. If there's less years left, you spend less. And then the pasuk repeats, "Lo sonu," which is by Yonos Devarim, but it says, "Lo sonu ishah sami," so don't cheat someone. So Ramban says, it's hard to say that there's not going to be any Yonah by Kaka when the whole Pasha is talking about selling a field and measuring how many years there are left to Yovel. How can you say that there's no Yonah for Kaka? So the Rabban concludes, even though there's a drasha, the Chachamim said mi yada misacho, which excludes things that you can't go from hand to hand, but in Isser there is. There's always going to be an Isser. Right? Even though if Reuven sold the field to Shimon for overcharge, according to everyone, it was overcharged. There's no shayla, it's overcharged. And they can't be mevatel the nekach. You can't say, I want my money back, take the field back. But Reuven did something wrong, if you knew what he was doing. Right? It's us to do. So the whole, everything we spoke until now, we were just talking about in Choshen Mishpat. In Hilchos Nekach HaMemkar, you can't cancel the sale. But if you know that your house is worth $100,000, you're not allowed to sell it for more than it's worth. It's an Isser, according to the Ramban. And the Sefer HaChinuch says the same thing. He also brings the Isser. Huh?
What?
No, that's just a giyuy that we're talking about karka. That's all. You can't say that the pasuk is only talking about metatlin, because the parsha, the pshuta shemip, is talking about karka. So that's why he splits it up and says that we're talking about the isur lo sonu. There's an isur lav, so that applies to karka. Now, some of the achronim want to say, so if that's the case, if you don't, once there's no payments, then there's an issur, so you should get malchus, because The only reason there's no malchus by your nose is because you're paying. You don't pay in malchus. So here, where you don't pay because it's karka, and you're saying there's an issur, there should be a chiyuv malchus. So the Minchas Chinuch wants to say that, I think it's a simple svara. As he's saying, because losonu is a love that you have to pay. Here there's a loophole that you don't have to pay. But losonu is the type of love where there is a payment involved with it, you know, like Tanavei Chizkiya, that if once it's a thing that's a mechuyim, even in cases where there's no chiyuv, because it's a shogeg, there's still you don't pay. So the same thing over here, losonu is a altonu is a love that has payment, so there'll never be malchus on it. Says the Ramban Shita, the Chinuch Shita, but as everything, at least we saw tonight, there's a Malchus of Shanim on that. They bring from Tosfos. Rabbi Kager brings from Mishnah Balka brings Tosfos that says that there's not even a lav. Baruch Chaim HaKadosh says that there is an issur, different reason than the Ramban. So, but if it's a Safek issur, the Ramban and the Chinuch, they say that it's usur. So, it seems like something to refrain from. And then we can take it one step further. Now suppose that it's Asr. Let's assume, according to the Ramban, that it's Asr. Now, Alpi Halacha, you can't force me to give it back. But I did something wrong over here. I did something Asr. I need to do tshuva. So does my tshuva require me, Bidei Shamayim at least, to give you back your extra money or cancel the whole sale like you want? Is there any mitzvah, is there any obligation between me and Hashem to cancel the sale? Right? Once we're saying there's an issur, so once again, choshen mishpat, we can't force you to cancel. You can't take me to a din Torah and force me to give you the house back, and give me my money back. You can't, there's no din Torah here. But suppose you go ask your Rav, and he asks him, look, I want to see Yom Kippur, I want to do tshuva, I see I overcharged this person, I knowingly overcharged him, I took advantage of him. What do I have to do? Do I have to give back the money, the extra money? Right, so, the Choshen Aaron, Aaron Valken again says that you have to. He says, Losis Yidei Shemayim Vadai Mechuyev Lahachzir. You certainly have to return it. So once there's an issur, so to get rid of the issur, you have to erase what you did wrong. You did something wrong. Right? It was morally wrong, it was halachically wrong. It might not be something you can claim in court, but it was something that halachically wrong. So he says, you, as an obligation, just like you chai to keep Shabbos, between you and Hashem is a mitzvah bidei shemayim, that you, it's the right thing to do to return what you overcharged to the unsuspecting buyer, or what you underpaid to the unsuspecting seller. That's what the Choshen Aaron says. The Minchas Chinuch disagrees with that also. He says, and so what's the reason that there's no onal for karka? So if you say it's a gzeres akasav, so then we could start talking, it's a gzeres akasav that says that you don't force me to pay the money back, but there's an isser, and if there's an isser, so I have to make good from what I did wrong and pay it back. But the Minchas Chinuch says, the Ramban and the Sefer HaChinuch said the reason is because you can say the didishavili, I'm mochalit. I want to buy, when I buy land, I know that I might overpay for it, because when you're talking about land, it's something very subjective. It's not like an apple. It's something very subjective, and I'm willing to overpay for it. The whole halachas of onah don't apply, because it's not something that has an objective price that you overcharge someone or underpaid. It's karka, by its nature, is something that is subjective. So it's the Gzeres HaKasav is teaching us that whenever someone gets overcharged or underpays for real estate, what they're doing is willingly, knowingly paying that amount, even though it might be too low, it might be too high, buying or selling. That's what the Ramban seems to be saying. So if that's the case, the Minchas Chinuch says there should be no chiyuv to return it, because you came, you willingly, like you said in the beginning, if someone came from New York and willingly says, I like this house, I want to pay this amount, he knows that might not be the price over here. You know, maybe not, maybe yes, maybe not. But he's willing to pay that amount, or even if you initiate it, this is what I'm charging, and he agrees to it. So, using this svara, when it comes to karka, people are willing to overpay or undercharge. karka is subjective. So if that's the case, you're not supposed to willingly trick him. That's still low tonu. Don't you tell him that you should know that you could get it cheaper. It's not really market price. But if you did, so the svara is that he was malchulit. And in the sense, that's not like by gezel. If you steal karka, so then there's halacha that you have to return it, right? That's gezel. If you steal karka, even though it's a klal, private klal, that there's if karka in exiles, you still have to return it. But when we're talking about onah, this is based on mechila. There wasn't any, there's nothing behind the back. It was all out in the open. You agreed to pay this amount, and you were machal the difference. I think it's hard to hear, because if we're saying such a svar that you're machal, you're so wise at us here. I find it a little bit hard to hear, but that's what he says. He's saying that the fact that it's not exeris akasi, it's a mechila. That's what the Ramban said. So since it's mechila involved, so that's why there'd be no chiyuv to return it. But the Choshen Aharon says that vada mechuyev lahafzi, you'd for sure have to return it. So getting back to the shaila, like we said in the beginning, you knowingly overcharge the person for the house, so there's ainu nala karkos. He can't get his money back. The house, according to most poskim, will be considered karka. Maybe if you overcharge twice, there might be a way, if they're muxlik, whoever's muxlik, there might be a way to cancel it. So pretty much in the din Torah, you're going to win whenever it comes, whenever you're on the upper hand by the karka. But in Hilchas Isser, in the Isser of it, there is reason to think that there is an Isser. The Ramban, the Chinuch, the Arishanim that say that it's Asir. Some say it's not, but already it's a Smachlok Sushanim whether it's Asir. And it might go so far to say you'd have to return it. Would you have to return it if you ask a Shai? They might say it's a Svek Svek, but it's a Suffolk if it's Asir or not. And even if it's Asir, it's a Suffolk if you have to return it. So I don't know, if you actually do it, whether you would get the advice that you should return the money. I don't know, but there certainly is a possibility that you did do something wrong, right? It's a very good possibility that you did do something wrong by overcharging or underpaying the unsuspected buyer or seller, and it could be that you bidei shamayim, at least you might have to do some recourse, even though in a bezin you would not have to.